Welcome to the Leaders Toolkit Podcast, episode 30.
Hi, I'm Tracy, the Director of Catalyst Support here at Giant. This podcast is for all types of team leaders in any industry or organization size. Whether you're the owner of a small company, a middle manager, a director, an employee leading a small team of three, four, or five people, or you lead a worldwide company, this podcast is for you. Here's the deal. Being good at your job often leads to leadership roles, but just because you're good at your job doesn't necessarily mean you're good at leading people. That's a separate skill set. In other words, the skills that made you successful in your field may not have included team leadership. That's where this podcast comes in. If you struggle with managing tasks, time, conflict, or motivating your people, we're here to help. Our goal is to equip team leaders with the skills to master the art of leading a team. Each episode will be concise, providing you with hacks, tips, tricks, tools, wisdom, and encouragement. Tune in and share with other team leaders you know. Together, let's build healthy, high-performing teams that change the world. Let's empower you to be a team leader worth following. Welcome back, everybody. We are back again, and I have my guest, Scott Waldron, with us again. So if you did not hear the last episode, you need to go back and listen to that, because what we're going to talk today about is going to build on what we started last week, which is all about influence. And Scott introduced us to this fantastic tool. Go look at it in the show notes. It's called the Influence Model. We talked about the four C's. So Scott, will you just give us a very short recap about that and then introduce us to the next layer of this concept?
Yes. And thank you for having me back. I like that. I like to be in with you, Tracy. And so it's fun. It's fun.
You too. Thanks for coming back. And I don't have the $1 million. So sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'll live. Thank you. You can take me to lunch next time I see you.
Oh, okay. We'll do that.
We'll hang out. There is a, so the influence model, the first part of it is all about the four C's. How do we build trust as a foundational element to building influence? We're not done after we build that initial trust, after we check those boxes of the four C's: character, chemistry, competency, and credibility. We're naturally going to be stronger at some of them than we are others. And we really need to learn, how do we do that? How do we check off all four of those boxes so that we can start to just get in the door of building that trust and building the influence we want in leadership and in life?
It's funny, because I was thinking, you can pick up on clues with people very quickly, actually, once you start learning about the five voices and the influence model. Because, for instance, this podcast is a huge, like, Tracy is a guardian. She's a thinker. She likes things efficient. You know, when I start this podcast every time, you notice just now, I didn't get into a bunch of chit chat with you, right? I went right into the subject matter. That's just how I function as a human being. It's how my brain functions. It's like, hey, we're here for a podcast and I want these people to know about influence. And so I want to get right into it, right? So you could have clued, and you already know me, but you could have clued into that very, very quickly. Other times, you know, if I pull up my Zoom screen with somebody and I see all the pictures of their family and I see, I don't know, some memorabilia or whatever, and they start asking me where I'm from or things like that, I can go, oh, okay, they're more on that chemistry side. And so I need to spend a little bit of time with them. Like you were saying last episode, like, you clue into what people are and need, and you speak in that way that builds influence. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. So
that is so good. I mean, observing your surroundings, getting the energy, because a lot of us, and this is going to go what we're going to talk about, get so sucked into self-preservation that we can't move past ourselves. And so when you're doing that, when you're observing what's in the background, when you're observing the way they carry themselves, what they talk about, and you're listening first, when you're taking in first, that is such an advantage for you. And we're not talking about manipulation here. I'm not talking about coming to you, listening to what you're saying, and then using that to manipulate you. There's a difference between influence and manipulation.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to the idea of influence is I am for you. Mm-hmm. Manipulation is I'm for myself. Am I trying to control the outcome of this conversation? Am I trying to make sure I have all the control and you don't have as much? That's manipulation. an influential relationship, it's give and take. I'm influencing you. You're influencing me. We're discussing, we're sharing. But you have all the power. I have all the power that we need to build this relationship. Once you start feeling a loss of control, that is an indication that somebody is probably trying to manipulate you or something to think about.
That's good. Yeah. We have a mantra around here we say a lot, which is fight for the highest possible good of the person on the other side of you. Fight for their highest possible good. And that's what you're doing when you're meeting them where they are and communicating in a way that they feel best that, and they understand, then you are fighting for them. And I love that you made that distinction between manipulation and influence and power. Okay. So you just spoke about self-preservation. Tell me what that has to do with this whole conversation.
Because once we've checked off the four C's, sometimes we go, "Ooh, I'm good." Like finally they're in the door, check that box, move on to the next relationship. It becomes a bit transactional and it can seem that way. That trust initially is where we talk about from my brand strategy days and working in brand strategy, which I now carry over into leadership and team communication. We talked about the stairway to brand heaven or brand hell. And it was this idea of that first interaction, that relationship, then consistency in that relationship, and then starting to build in some authenticity. So now we're going from checking the boxes, four C's, right? Into now we're getting into some feeler stuff. Authenticity, do they feel authentic? And building the trust piece. I'm starting to trust you now. Like if we were getting to know each other, we're getting to know our spouse, we're getting to know somebody that we're going to have a long-term relationship with, maybe hopefully get married to one day if we're in that space. And I come to you and I'm like, okay, so we've gotten through the relationship building. We've gotten through the consistency part. I'm consistent. You're consistent. We're starting to feel authentic to each other. I'm starting to trust you more. There's a final step. So once trust is there, that's not the end. Because trust says, okay, I start to trust you now. I'm going to give you something and I'm going to see what you do with it in this relationship. And it might be something I'm not proud of. It might be something that I'm a little embarrassed by or something that's hard for me to talk about and share with you, but I'm going to put it out there and I'm going to see what you do with it. And if you do good things with that thing I just gave you, that's when loyalty is built. That is when true influence starts to take over because that involves relationship, that involves impact. And when we can get to that stage in our relationship, that is when loyalty is built. That's when brand loyalty is built with people, with products, with companies, with whatever, is when that is established. So self-preservation, though, is what the thing that keeps us from becoming loyal to a person, to a product, to a company. And I will not become loyal to you as a leader if I sense your self-preservation. If you're all about yourself, if you're all about protecting yourself, building up these walls, I'm not going to come along with you. I may think, so they go, well, you passed the four C's initially, but whoa, something's up with you. I think you're afraid of losing something. You seem like you're trying to hide something or you're trying to really prove something to me that's creating these barriers. And I can't really get past what that is. I don't know what that is. So those are the three questions that we ask when we're talking about self-preservation and these walls.
Those are good questions. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk through those three questions a little deeper because those are, yeah, that strike a nerve a little bit. So, all right, listeners, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We've got this idea of self-preservation. Again, check the show notes. You'll see the actual tool in there. It's very simple. You mentioned these three questions to ask. Can you run through them one more time?
Sure. What am I afraid of losing? What am I trying to hide? And what am I trying to prove? When anybody is going into any situation in any time in life, self-preservation is present. I guarantee you, self-preservation is present right now on this show. Just a little bit. We have a little bit of self-preservation because we want this show to be so good. We're afraid of maybe people thinking we're a little incompetent if we say the wrong thing or we mess up, or maybe we're trying to hide that, oh, I don't know, maybe this... maybe I don't feel so comfortable on this thing with you, or maybe I'm trying to prove that we're really worth listening to. Like, you should really listen to this show. And it's those types of things. Self-preservation in and of itself is a good thing. It's kind of what's kept humanity alive forever. It helps us eat, drink, reproduce, and just do things humans do. But when I'm talking about this idea of self-preservation here, and what we talk about in the giant community, is this self-preservation that builds up walls. So self-preservation, our brains are built to preserve our lives. They're built that way on purpose. Like, they need to help us run away from bad things and towards good things. But that kind of self-preservation, caveman type thinking is also what will destroy cultures and create toxicity between teams and leaders. Because that's what helps us build walls up around ourselves to stay safe. You see departments and companies do this when marketing and sales are talking to each other, like, that marketing department, they do this and this and this, this. That sales department, they do this, 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 and this. There is self-preservation happening on either side of that table. Every time you have a disagreement with somebody, self-preservation is present. With your spouse, with your kids, with your colleagues, with your boss, whoever, self-preservation is present. And you need to ask yourself these three questions. You ask yourself these questions first. I just don't understand what's going on with this person right now. I'm so frustrated with them. Okay, so what's my self-preservation? What am I afraid of losing in this situation? What am I trying to hide? And what am I trying to prove? And once you start thinking about your self-preservation, it's really hard to be critical at somebody else. Mm-hmm. Self-preservation is all about me. But as soon as I turn and start reflecting on how I can possibly own the situation, it's going to be really hard to build that influence. So I start with myself. What am I afraid of losing? What am I trying to hide? What am I trying to prove? And once I start to get some answers to that, then I can flip the table and flip the script a little bit to them. And I can go, I wonder what they're afraid of losing. What are they trying to hide, or what are they trying to prove? And if I start to go there, you know what's happening is I'm starting to empathize. I'm starting to sit there and go, I can see that. Okay. I can see where they're probably a little bit worried about losing their job right now. I can see where they're probably a little bit stressed because this person's adding some extra stress to their plate. And so you start to feel a little bit and empathize with people when you start asking those questions. Moving from critique to curiosity is key when you're talking about self-preservation.
Oh, I love that. Critique to curiosity. Yes. Okay. So can we set up a real life scenario here? Because our listeners are going to be normally a team leader or someone in that position. So let's say I'm a team leader. I have 6 people on my team. I have a new strategy that I want to unfold to the team. And I present it, and then I feel like, I've got a little bit of self-preservation, I guess, that I came in through. And so I start asking myself those questions. So let's walk through what this looks like on a real practical level. I've just unfolded my strategy, and I'm not getting the feedback that I was hoping for. Maybe I've got some resistance, people critiquing my work. How does this play out practically?
Okay. So that's how you know you're running into some self-preservation on your side and probably their side too. They're experiencing self-preservation too.
Yeah.
You have a new strategy in place, and 73% of the population is change averse and risk averse and present oriented. And you're hitting walls. That's how you know that there's some self-preservation. When you feel like you're running into walls, that's when something's happening. So it's really easy for some leaders to go, why don't people get on board? Why I share all this stuff. I tell everybody the things. I've been thinking about this for 6 months and it's a really good idea. I've heard people talk about it and they're still not on board. So I'm going to ask you, what are you afraid of losing, Tracy?
yeah, if I was the leader and I had spent hours, you know, getting the strategy together, I'm afraid of losing my credibility because, hey, I'm the leader. I thought of this, what I thought was a good idea. So maybe my team won't think I'm as smart as I thought I was, or that I am really not in control like I thought I was, or actually the leader because my idea wasn't as great as I thought it was.
What do you think you might be trying to hide in the situation, if anything?
Yeah, maybe I didn't do my background work. Maybe I pushed a thought forward that I really hadn't researched enough. I hadn't gathered all the data or all the facts to be so confident in what I thought would be a great strategy.
That's really good. The hide question is the trickiest for people because when you initially ask somebody, what are you trying to hide? People don't like to feel like they're hiding something. It seems kind of sleazy and kind of like, icky. I'm afraid of losing something. I'm trying to prove something might be there, but the trying to hide something is a character thing. And people don't like to admit that very often. So I really have to push people on the hide question a lot. And think about that one because I don't go, well, I'm not trying to hide anything. That's usually the first answer I get is I'm not trying to hide anything. Self-preservation. But it's like, let's dig a little bit into that one. Okay. So in this situation, Tracy, what do you think you would be trying to prove?
Trying to prove that I'm in my position for a reason. I mean, that's why they hired me, right? Is because I should be able to set a strategy and move forward with it with a team.
Somebody saw something into you, whether you were hired by the board, whether you've been, you know, working through your way up through the company, whether you were brought in externally to run something, there's an expectation put on you and you want to prove to them and to everybody else that you deserve to be where you are and you're there for a reason. All these things seem understandable, right?
Yeah.
Like I can understand how you could feel this way. So when you're thinking about that and you start to recognize, how do I go into this situation with nothing to fear, nothing to hide, nothing to prove? And that mantra, whether you put that on a sticky note, whether you say that to yourself over and over again, nothing to fear, nothing to hide, nothing to prove. It's so cool. I was talking to Andrew Robinson, a colleague giant, sure, maybe some of you know Andrew. He was talking to me on my show recently, and he said, you know what? When I go into a client meeting, I shed all of my self-preservation. I try to shed it all, and I get it out, and I'm just Andrew. I'm just Andrew going into that meeting. And I was like, that bare bones thought. So even us as guides, we need that because we experience it all the time as well. So we're human. All of us experience self-preservation, and it's really important to understand by asking those three questions, where is your self-preservation first? And then it would be really helpful if you try to empathize and learn from others as well.
The big word I'm hearing from you is humility. You have to have humility. Even as the leader to go, it's possible that I'm wrong. It's possible that you have better ideas than me. It's possible that I should have collaborated with you or can now. It's possible that I can pivot at this point. Nothing's set in stone. Because I think there's a misconception that I'm the leader, so I have to be right. I have to be right the first time. I'm the person in authority. And so what I say goes, and I don't believe that's influence.
And that leans into another tool about the responsive person, secure, confident, and humble. We talk about leaders who are secure, confident, and humble. The person that you're talking about that's on the opposite side of that is insecure, arrogant, and prideful. Mm-hmm. Humility is key in this because humility, confidence are on the same side. Arrogance and pridefulness are on the other side. The difference between somebody who's humble and somebody who's prideful is simply the idea that they are confident or arrogant and teachable or not. Are you teachable? Are you open to other ideas, other aspects of what could be? That's the difference between a humble person and a resistant or prideful person in that situation.
Yes. So good. So good. What if the world was full of leaders like that?
Oh, Gosh, that would be awesome. But isn't that what we're here to do, Tracy? Isn't that the reason this podcast exists?
Yes. It's why we wake up in the morning, right? To inspire leaders to be liberating leaders that empower others and, yeah, do great work. That's a fun job that you get to go to every day when you have a leader like that, when you are a leader like that. So
it is a fun job. And I told my wife when she was working in dental hygiene and she comes home, she's like, I get so annoyed that people don't floss their teeth. And I was like, if people floss their teeth, you wouldn't have a job. So,
that's,
you
know, true. You should be grateful.
So we are grateful that we get to do this. I don't think we'll ever be out of work. You know, I think there's always something that we can work on ourselves and with others. And I think that that's what's the most fun is the opportunity that's out there.
I love it. Okay. You said it on the last episode. I don't think we've mentioned it here, but remind everyone how they can get a hold of you if they want you to help them with their teams or them individually. You do one-on-one coaching as well, don't you?
Yeah. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching, group facilitation, a lot of public speaking and professional speaking out there in the world. So if you're looking for somebody to do that, I would love to help you with that space as well. ScottWaldron.com. That's ScottWaldron. You can find me there, YouTube, LinkedIn. I've got a book out called Unlocked. You can find that on Amazon or where you buy books. And my podcast, Unlocked with Scott Waldron, is out there alive and well.
Love it. Thank you so much, Scott. Two episodes I got out of you. What a privilege.
What?
Oh, I know.
You're so spoiled.
I owe you.
I'm all spoiled. Right. This is awesome. I got to hang out with you this much.
Same. All right, listeners, we will catch you next time. Thanks, Scott.